AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The case of Tina Satchwell left the country in shock when her body was discovered underneath the stairs at her home in Yole after 6.5 years of searching for her. Richard Satchwell was found guilty of murdering his wife in May of this year after deliberately lying to the Gardaí, to investigators and journalists ever since the day she went missing. Ralph Regal, who covered the case from the beginning and who is from Yole in County Cork, the same town as Tina, has told the full story along with co-author Paul Byrne in their new book, which is called Appropriately Beneath the Stairs. And Ralph joins me in studio now to tell us more. I suppose it's right to say you're from Yole, the same as Tina, who was living in Yole, but she wasn't a Yole girl originally.
No, I'm actually from Fermoy, Pat, and that's actually where Tina's from. So that's my connection to it. I know Yole very well. I mean, Yole was, for anybody living in places like Fermoy or Mitchelstown, Yole was where we went to the seaside. So it was a place that anybody from our town would know Yole very, very well. Tina was from St. Bernard's Place in Fermoy. I was brought up in the village of Kilworth, literally about 1-2 miles outside Fermoy, and would have known extended members of her family growing up.
Now, she had an unsettled upbringing, I suppose, because she found out that her mother wasn't her mother.
No. Slightly dysfunctional in that, I suppose, Ireland of that era, the late 60s and early 70s, that pregnancies out of wedlock were looked on in a certain way. So what had happened in this case, they're a very nice family, they're a very close family. And what had happened was that, for obvious reasons, it was portrayed to everyone that Tina was the daughter of Florrie, who was Mary's mother, whereas in actual fact, Mary, who was the eldest child, was actually Tina's mother.
And this was not that uncommon in the Ireland.
Not at all. There are families everywhere, of course, Ireland.
Now, she didn't take it well when she found out, looking at her confirmation, when the documentation was sent in for confirmation, she had a look and saw her mother was Mary and not Florrie.
Yeah, it had a big impact on her. I think Florrie, who was Mary's mother and very much the matriarch of the family, she was a remarkable woman. Like, she was very kind-hearted. She, you know, worked very hard in the home, made sure it was a good home for all the children. And by all accounts, Tina worshipped the ground that Florrie walked on. And I think discovering that Florrie was her grandmother rather than her mother had a significant impact on her. Mm. And I think, in particular, the fact that she wasn't informed of this, that she had to discover it herself. There were very good reasons why she wasn't told, because she was very happy. It was a very happy home environment.
Ultimately, that led to her going to England, because Florrie had gone there too.
Yeah, she had. Florrie was originally from England and she returned. Tina went over to visit with her to stay. And I think her dream was to maybe forge a new life for herself in the UK. And the sad thing, tragic thing, was that she was only there a matter of days when she met Richard Satchwell. She was 17, he was 21, and he was obsessed with her from the very beginning. In his own words, he said that his brother happened to be living very close to where Florrie was living, and he saw Tina, and his exact words to his brother were, "I'm going to marry that girl."
And so he did, in fairly short order. I mean, this wasn't a year or 6 year long engagement.
No, and I think you could see the seeds were already being sown at that point of the level of obsession, of control, coercive control that he would eventually exert over Tina. She was homesick in England and she decided to come back to Fermoy and go summer holidays, go for a couple of days in Yole. And despite the fact that he had only known her a matter of months at this stage, he decided to accompany her. When she decided to stay longer in Ireland, he stayed as well.
Now, ultimately, they bought a house in Yole. I mean, they had various moves here and there and yon, but they bought this house in Yole, and we come upon the house in Yole when she's gone missing.
Yeah.
And it's a tip.
It is. It's we now know that the purchase of the house in Yall, Grattan Street in Yall in 2016, appears to be a central plank in Richard's coercive control campaign. He has, by this stage, isolated Tina from a lot of her friends. He has isolated her from her family, very tight-knit family. People are involved in each other's lives. And he had exaggerated rows and disputes, which happen within every family, to the point of isolating Tina. All of the bank accounts were in his name. Tina didn't drive, so she was dependent on her husband for logistics.
And people said when you met Tina on her own, she was jolly and cheerful. Yeah. When you met her with him, she was quiet.
Yeah, two different people. And how many people in Fermoy said this to me? And I think the tragedy is that everybody had one piece of the jigsaw, but no one had sufficient pieces of the jigsaw to see the overall picture of what was being done to Tina. If Tina had to go to the doctors for, say, a female medical issue, her husband would come with her. If she went to the beautician's, he sat on the windowsill outside watching her in the waiting room. If she went to the dentist, he went with her. That's the level of obsessive control that he had over his wife.
Now, she went missing. We now know she was murdered, but she went missing. And after a few days, 4 days, he reported a missing person to the Gardaí.
Yeah, first major red flag, Pat. Tina vanished on March the 20th, 2017. We now know that that's the day that, that Richard killed her. 4 days later, he notified the Gardaí in Fermoy, not in Yall, which is where they were resident. And there was a search conducted of the property about 3.5 months later in June of 2017. It was not an invasive search. There wasn't walls dug up or floors dug up, and nothing of significance was found. But Richard's story was that there were difficulties in the marriage, Tina was unhappy, and that she had left the family home taking their entire life savings of €26,000 in cash. And cruelly and cynically, having killed his wife, he then suddenly floated this, dismissed a rumour that he had heard his wife was having an affair with a Polish man, again trying to muddy the waters about the circumstances.
This is deflection, deflection, deflection.
Exactly.
Now, he gave so many interviews to media all the way along, and he became almost addicted to that process.
Yeah, I think that's one of the extraordinary elements of this case, Pat, is the level of engagement that Richard Satchwell had with the media. And I should stress the broadcast media. In his own words, he actually grew to dislike the print media. He felt that...
Well, the journalist who's writing is a filter.
Exactly.
Whereas if you're live on radio, live on television, you are unfiltered.
Exactly. And, I mean, he would drive to studios in Dublin for interviews. He would agree to broadcast interviews at major points in the case.
On crime call, begging his wife to come home.
And the emotions, I mean, my co-author Paul Byrne has said that, you know, if there is a drama group in Limerick Prison where he's serving his life sentence, he should definitely get involved in it, because some of his performances were Academy Award winning standard. And those performance, or those interviews were actually played during his murder trial before the Central Criminal Court last May and June. And it was extraordinary to see this person turning on the tears, becoming emotional, begging his wife to come home, saying, I mean, in this phrase that he kept repeating again and again, all he wanted to do was for her to come home, that he could love the bones off her, not realising that her body
was becoming bones.
Was becoming
onto
bones.
The stairs.
Yes, yeah.
Paul, your co-author, interviewed him many times and, in fact, even was concerned about his well-being and made a phone call to him at Christmas.
Yeah, Paul obviously had a very close working relationship with Richard Satchwell, and there were times in this story over the 6.5 years when Richard Satchwell wouldn't talk to anyone else, but he would do interviews with Paul Byrne. And probably one of the most extraordinary asides is that Paul, it was after the Mitchell's Wood search in March of 2018, Gardaí had spent 2 weeks tearing apart a woodland amid the belief that Tina's remains might be there. And Paul had taken Richard Satchwell for lunch as a thank you for the access and to see how he was. And as they came out of the Keys Bar in Yall, just a couple of 100 metres from Richard's house, Richard Satchwell stopped, looked out to sea and said to Paul, "You know, Paul, I get the feeling that she's not far away," staring out to sea.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Paul is convinced that he was trying to...
Another red herring.
Exactly, that she had died at sea. It was some type of a sea tragedy, marine tragedy.
There were a couple of suitcases that were yet another red herring.
Yeah, he reported that his wife had vanished with €26,000 in cash. A forensic accountant hired by the Gardaí pointed out that the couple, their net worth was 360 something euros in cash. It was physically impossible for them to have accumulated €26,000 in cash. But one of the things that he also said was that she had taken two suitcases. And he went to this extraordinary extreme of, he was shopping in Tesco in Yall, and there's a, you know, a recycling centre near it where people would bring bottles and things like that. And he saw two suitcases, and he actually rang the Gardaí to say that he thought he had found the two missing suitcases from Tina. But by the time the Gardaí arrived to seal off the scene, he said to them, oh, well, I actually don't think I'm mistaken. They're not the actual suitcases.
Now, all of these red herrings and all the interviews, and some of them were inconsistent with each other. The Gardaí, you quote an article in the Irish Independent that the British police had said, look, the answer is not in the UK. The answer to this is in Ireland. And the Gardaí reaffirmed that. So they didn't think that she'd run off with all this money to the UK.
No, very much so. I think from the very beginning, the Gardaí believed that the answer to Tina's whereabouts lay in Yall. They had gone through, they'd done a huge amount of work in terms of ruling out, had she gone to England? They checked, got the British police to check the various addresses in the UK where Tina and Richard had lived over the years. The British police said that they were satisfied she'd not travelled through any port or facility like that. She didn't have a passport. She was afraid of flying.
Now, from time to time, obviously, the case came back into the headlines, but then a body was found in Middleton.
Yeah.
And that kind of reignited a lot of curiosity about the case, because there was quite some excitement. This could be the breakthrough in the disappearance of Tina Satchwell.
Yeah, very much so, Pat. I remember that day I was on duty and got a phone call from a contact of mine saying that human remains had been found. They were developing a greenway outside Middleton as part of these multiple greenway developments across Ireland, and the workmen had found what they thought were human remains. And as it transpired, they were skeletal remains of a woman. And for a couple of hours, there was the genuine belief that they could be the remains of Tina Satchwell. But as it transpired, they're the remains of a lady aged in her 70s. And ironically,
to this day, nobody knows.
Exactly. We've done multiple stories on that over recent weeks and months, including here on Newstalk. You've had stories about it, that the Gardaí have not been able to identify who that woman is. But they realised within 24 hours that it was a much older woman than Tina, and the remains had been in situ for much longer than Tina had vanished. But the extraordinary thing about Richard Satchwell is that the Gardaí went to his house to inform him of the discovery.
There had been a body found.
That there had been a body found. Yeah. And one of the Gardaí, having turned around from the door to walk back, said to his colleague, that's definitely not Tina, because they knew from his reaction that it wasn't the remains of Tina.
So therefore, if he knew that they couldn't be in Middleton if a third party had done her in, for example.
Yes.
Then the logical conclusion is he knows where she is.
Yeah, very much so.
The breakthrough then, October the 10th, 2023, as a knock on the door.
Yeah. What happened in the Garda investigation was that there had been various promotions and transfers.
And retirements.
Retirements, exactly. And a couple of new officers got involved in it, in particular, Inspector Anne-Marie Toomey. She's now a superintendent. And she herself and Detective Sergeant David Kelleher, they basically went back over the entire file. And what they did as well was they decided to consult with outside experts, one of whom was a forensic archaeologist, Dr. Niamh McCullough. And having gone through the file, Dr. McCullough said that there were a number of red flags. The delay in reporting Tina missing, but also at the very time that Tina vanished, there were home improvements and renovation works going on in the property. And that is always a red flag in one of these cases. And also what happened was that there was various electronics studies done. In the original June 2017 search, Gardaí had taken Richard Satchwell's phones and a number of laptops. And when those laptops were analysed, there had been quite a significant delay in analysing them. But when they were ultimately analysed, they discovered that in the very week that Tina had vanished, Richard Satchwell had done a Google search about quicklime and the disposal of bodies.
Now, this is an extraordinary omission by the Gardaí.
It is, in the first investigation.
Absolutely extraordinary. Yeah. And the fact that Satchwell knew that they had his computer and still acted with impunity.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most extraordinary elements of this case is that up until Richard Satchwell was told during his second arrest and second series of interviews in October 2023, up until he was told by Gardaí that they had found the body, he maintained this fiction that his wife had vanished. Now, he knew the Gardaí had his laptops. He knew the Gardaí had his phones. He presumably knew that they were going through his accounts, which would have given a total lie to his claim to the 26,000 euros. But he barefaced, cynically maintained this fiction that Tina had run away.
Now, he was charged and ultimately he went to trial. And he came up with this narrative for his defence that Tina, his wife, had been abusing him and that he was subject to an attack.
Yeah. I mean, it's again one of these remarkable elements of the case that in several interviews with the Gardaí, he had said, you know, I don't care how long I go to prison. You can charge me with anything. I'm not going to challenge it. The one thing I won't have is I won't have Tina's name dragged through the mud. I won't have every Tom, Dick and Harry in court listening to our secret. And of course, by a secret, he meant that he had been physically abused over many years by Tina, that she would slap him, that she would get aggressive with him, and that on occasion she would tell him that she had wasted her life being married to him.
Now, this was the narrative he gave to the Gardaí in an interview. He did not testify in his own defence.
No, he didn't. And there was quite a considerable period, Pat, in the trial. I remember talking to Jamie O'Hara, who covered the case so excellently for News Talk and for Today FM. And I remember talking to him, and we genuinely didn't know until the very final day of the defence case. Everyone was wondering, would he take the stand? Because we got the impression from his body language that I think he was quite keen to take the stand in his own defence.
Now, the extraordinary thing, the defence had only one witness.
One witness who was actually the half-sibling of Tina Satchwell. And you could make the case that the evidence that was given by Lorraine Howard, I think, did as much to convict Richard Satchwell as any of the state witnesses, because I think the view she gave of Richard Satchwell, and I think it's important to say to your listeners as well, this is a man who was so cruel and callous that having killed his wife, he stored her body in a fridge freezer, then buried her face down wrapped in plastic underneath the stairs, staged an impromptu funeral, in his own words, where he threw tulips on top of his wife, but then offered the fridge freezer to one of Tina's relatives, knowing that her body had been in it.
Yeah, and it would need a bit of a clean, was the
yeah, that was, he then, when the relative said that they didn't want the fridge freezer, what actually happened was he placed an ad on Dundeal and he said, chest freezer for sale, free if collected, just needs a clean.
Now, the you know, the fact that he decided not to testify for himself, what do we understand from that, or what do you understand watching the whole thing unfold? Because he's a man who loved publicity.
Yeah, I think, I mean, certainly everyone is entitled not to give evidence in their own defence. Nothing can be read into it. Nothing can be taken away from it. However, in cases like this, there's an argument that it can be very important as to the credibility of the witness and the believability of the account that they're offering. But here's a man who had told lie upon lie upon lie for 6.5 years. And I think the risk of him taking the stand, and I have to say the prosecutor in this case, Geraldine Small, senior counsel, was extremely effective and very, very detailed in her presentation of the evidence. And there's no doubt that I'd say any senior counsel prosecutor would have revelled in having him in the stand.
So you have the closing statement from the prosecution, then the closing statement from the defence, and then the charge from the judge to the jury. And there was still a twist in the tale at this point.
There was. Brendan Grehan, senior counsel, was the chief defence counsel for Mr. Satchwell. He's one of the preeminent defence counsels in the state. And he objected to the charge from the judge and actually applied for the case to be, for the jury to be discharged after almost 5 weeks of evidence on the basis of what the judge had said
and
to the jury.
And if the judge had discharged the jury, you were back to square one. The whole
Absolutely.
Thing has to be started again.
You start all over again, clean slate, and away you go. But the judge wouldn't... Mr. Justice Paul McDermott wouldn't have it. He did raise a couple of further points to the jury. The jury retired and it took 9.5 hours before the jury came back with the unanimous guilty verdict that Richard Satchwell had actually murdered his wife.
It did take a few days because the way the courts don't sit for that long and juries don't, they were allowed to go home and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I very much remember it was the Friday of the coming into the June bank holiday weekend, and it was one of those cases. I mean, they come along every so often. There's a case that it kind of captures the public imagination, the detail. you know, were so extraordinary. I mean, some cases would have one or two remarkable elements, but in this particular case, it was layer upon layer of simply incredible detail. And the atmosphere in court, that when you heard the knock on the door, the jury were coming back in, I mean, the atmosphere was electric. And he was pretty much emotionless when the jury convicted him. He didn't really react in court at all. Ushered out of court just a couple of minutes later, and he was sentenced. Now, when you're convicted of murder, it's a mandatory life sentence, and the duration of the sentence is determined by the parole board. But he showed very little emotion. The emotion really came the following week when he was sentenced, and remarkable victim impact statements by Tina's family. I have to say, throughout every family's worst nightmare, they have shown incredible courage and incredible dignity. And in
because they watched their relative being maligned as well. You know, all sorts of bad things said about her, which turns out weren't true at all.
No, very much so, Pat. And I think, you know, several members of the family have said this, that, you know, he wasn't content with taking Tina's life. He wanted to take her good name and reputation as well. And the family, I think, very much countered that. I mean, the picture that was painted of Tina in their victim impact statements and in the statements outside the court was one of a bubbly, bright, kind-hearted person, a person who hated to see cruelty to animals. They told stories that if Tina came across an injured cat or kitten, that she would literally spend her whole evening trying to get actually help for that animal.
Well, the book is compelling. It's called Beneath the Stairs, subtitled The Disappearance of Tina Satchwell and the Discovery That Shocked the Nation. It's authored by Ralph Regal, who's here with me this morning, and by Paul Byrne. It's published by Hachette Books, and it's available everywhere. Ralph, thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.